I'm glad that each of you guys are here today to be able to witness what God is doing in the Maddox family's lives. I am very grateful for Heather and Isaiah to be able to come and share with us and show us what it is that the missionaries do, what kind of call God puts on their hearts, and well, maybe God has put a call on your heart to take a short missionary trip or to become a missionary or something along those lines, and this will help confirm that for you. Maybe God has put something in your heart about being a missionary in our local area and going out and sharing with other people what God has done in your life and what He wants to do in their life as well. And so I'm very grateful that Heather and Isaiah are able to come and share this with us. And without giving too much introduction, I've seen some of the slides that are coming up. I'm sure they're going to do a much better job of showing us who they are and who God is to them. So,
we want to thank Pastor Bill for inviting us up here. I'm Isaiah Maddox. This is my lovely wife, Heather, and you saw the three little munchkins run that way. Those are ours, but I'll let my wife introduce because you get to hear me speak, so it's kind of dangerous giving her the mic, but I'll give it to her.
Good morning. So we are the Maddox family. As you saw them running out, we have three children. Dakota is our oldest. He was the one sitting up in the front, and he is 9. Oh, he is 10 now. He just turned 10. So I'm still remembering that he's double digits. We might have a picture. Woohoo! So there we go. So Dakota has the bow tie on, and he is like, God is just placing him and using him already. It's so awesome to see how God is just working in his life. He's our dreamer, our visionary. So it's so amazing to see what God's doing in him. And then I have Malachi, who is 8. He is also the one who had the man bun. He didn't have it in that picture, but he has the little shaved head man bun going on. And he is my animal expert. So if you have any questions on what animals we might encounter in Colombia and or in Costa Rica when we study Spanish, he is the person to ask. Outside of that, he might not even say hi to you. He's also my shy one. So if you want him to talk about animals. And then our little girl, Tara Beth, she is 6 going on probably like 16, 26, pick a number up way higher than what she really is. And she may be beautiful. She is beautiful and she has beautiful curls. But the second that you believe that, she has got you wrapped in those curls and you're in trouble. We call her our warrior princess, more on the warrior side. So pastor's wife was talking about leeches out here and I was like, please don't say that too loud because my kids will want to go find them right now. So those are our children and we're super excited that God has called us to go to the country, beautiful country of Colombia. So what is the first thing you think of when you hear Colombia? Coffee. That is a great answer. I cannot even begin to tell you some of the answers that we have gotten when we've said, what do you think about when you think about Colombia? So yes, we are headed to the beautiful coffee country of Colombia. Please grab our prayer card when you service is over this afternoon. And what we like to say is, put the prayer card by your coffee, and when you drink coffee, think of the missionaries in Colombia, because let's be honest, the best coffee is Colombian coffee. So this is the top portion of Colombia, and this is where we're going to be serving. So really big, you kind of see Barranquilla, and above that, a little bit smaller, Santa Marta. That is the city that we're going to be living in. That's on the northern coast of Colombia. And I just want to reaffirm what Pastor was talking about even this morning. God, when I was 13, God called me to be missionary. It's been 22 years since He first called me. And it's taken 22 years for God to bring that full circle. And now we are just getting ready to go on the field. Pastor's wife was asking if my kids have been to Colombia yet. I've not been to this portion of Colombia. Me and my husband were in Colombia, in the capital of Bogota, in 2012, working with another missionary when God spoke to our hearts very clearly, literally breaking our hearts for the people in the country of Colombia. And so God has opened the door that we're going to be headed to the northern part of Colombia where we've never been. So please pray for us. It's about 100 degrees year round. It's hot. I don't really like the heat. I love the snow. Like, I prayed really hard this year that my last winter in the States that I would get lots of snow. I loved every second of it. He did not, but it was great. So we're going to be in that northern part of Colombia. We're actually going to be working in Barranquilla and down to Cartagena, and we're going to be doing church plants in those three cities and along that coast up there. And then the other thing that we're going to be doing, which is definitely a dream that God placed on my heart, and at first, We were told no, that we weren't needed for that. But I said, okay, God, this is you. And he opened the door, and we're going to be working with what's called King's Castle. And that's what that cool logo is right there. And so King's Castle is an evangelistic outreach for children. And so every dot on that map of Colombia is where King's Castle teams are established. And you see up in that top, there's no dots up there. That's where we're going. And I was like, thank you, Jesus. And so the purposes of King's Castle are to train, to form. You can read it. It's wonderful. My favorite one, to ease. The Bible says the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And it has been on our hearts for so long to go. And we are so excited to go and to work with the national pastors down in Colombia, to work with the national leaders and raise up the next generation of young people and young adults who want to serve and not just serve God, but reach their fellow Colombians. And so this children's evangelistic outreach that we're doing, basically, that's lots of words, we get to do VBS every day in the streets and in the schools. Now let me tell you, it's 100 degrees, remember? So please, seriously, pray for the missionaries that are in Colombia as we sweat it all out doing this awesome VBS. But we get to go into the schools, and just in place times that we've been in different parts of Colombia, we've seen teachers, we've seen principals come to know Jesus, not just the children. And I guess I'll give it back to you.
As she falls. So this is our amazing family. This is what we're doing. So please make sure you grab a prayer card, pray for us. You can check us out, MaddoxFamilyMissions.com. If you have social media, Facebook, we have our own page. Join it, please, and you'll see updates. But if you want a good laugh from Tara Beth, who at the time made her own video, she was 4 years old. Imagine that, 4 year old made her own video. It's on our website under videos, and it's called the MK Kid. It is hilarious. Take a minute and a half, and you'll die laughing. But that's where we're going. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Romans chapter 10. That's where we're going to be at today. But I wanted to ask you this. When you think of missions, what comes to mind when you think of missions and missionaries? What do you think of that when you think about that? I remember when I was a little kid, I grew up in church my whole life. And I remember when I was a little kid, all the missionaries that were coming to our church were either in the jungle or they were over in China. And so in my mind, I thought that's what missions was. And I don't do jungle. So when my wife said my son is the animal expert, he really is. He'll tell me this. Now, I'm a big guy. I used to be way bigger than this. But I don't like snakes. Okay, so y'all laugh, but my wife knows what happens. When I was in North Carolina as a youth pastor, I was mowing grass, and a 6-foot black snake went across my foot. I stopped mowing grass, started pushing the lawnmower towards the house. My wife was like, what's wrong? He's pushing it. I was white as a ghost. And I pushed towards it. So that happened then. And then 2 weeks later, we were doing a baptism in the Sound, which is pretty much like a lake. And right when they were baptizing somebody, I looked over near the shore and a water moccasin went out. And I said, if I was in there and I saw that, I'd be the third man walking on water, because I don't do snakes. So my son Malachi loves to tell me about the different snakes. And if you know what's down in Latin America, there's one of the biggest snakes in the Amazon, which is called the anaconda. My son Malachi loves to say, hey, Dad, do you know this snake gets as big as a Mack truck? I'm like, dude, be quiet. He's like, no, Dad, they just found one that's 25 and a half feet long. I'm like, well, I'm going to heaven if I see it, because it's going to have a free meal. I'm done. But growing up, when you think of missions, you always thought of the jungle, you thought of that, or you thought of Africa. And that's what we just thought of. But see, missions is so much more than just those three areas. You guys know what's happening because it's been Americade that's been going on, right? Right there is a missions field. You have a mission field that, let's be honest, all the New Yorkers that are in New York City come out to come to beautiful Lake George to get away from the concrete jungle to come to what they think is a jungle, because they've never seen real things. We've had kids in our youth group that came from Brooklyn, moved in, and they've never seen a cow before in their life. And there's one right down the street from our church. They're like, Pastor Isaiah, did you see how big that thing is? I was like, yeah, that's a cow. They're like, what does it do? I'm like, we eat that. They're like, what? Why? I'm like, did you eat at McDonald's today? They're like, yeah. It's like, that was probably his uncle. But when you think of missionaries, missions is so much more than just going overseas. Missions is in your backyard. How many of you have family members that are unsaved? How many of you have neighbors, coworkers, complete strangers that don't know about Jesus and what he can do in their life and what he's created them for? So missions is very important. Actually, if you look in the Bible, missionary is nowhere found in the Bible. It is a Christianese word that actually means sent one. So when you think of missionaries, it's called sent one. And so God has called us all to do this. So if we look here in Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 15, that's what we're going to be saying. I'll have some other verses, but I have it up on here if you don't have your Bible or if you don't have electronics, we have it there. But Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 16, it says here, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about them unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scripture says, 'How beautiful are the feet of the messenger who brings the good news.'" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that you love us so much. Father, that you even sent people into our own lives to hear about your Son. So Father, I pray that you would open up our ears, open up our hearts to see who you're calling us to be sent to. And the missionaries that are going around the world and even in our backyard. Father, I pray that you'd open up our hearts today. And Lord, I thank you for what you're about to do. Holy Spirit, make us aware of what you're doing today. In your name we pray. Amen. There's a story of a missionary called J.W. Tucker. He is one of the founding missionaries in Africa. In the 1960s, he was in the Republic of Congo as a missionary. And if you don't know what was going on in the 1960s, in the 1960s, there was only 4,000 proclaimed Christians in the Republic of Congo. Okay, so 1960s, 4,000. 2014, over 500,000 know Jesus. And it's because of the life of J.W. Tucker. J.W. Tucker gave his life to go to the Congo and spread the love of Jesus. While he was there, he was trying to go to a remote village, but he could never go there because that remote village was deep in the heart of the Congo. And the Congo is actually the jungle, the Amazon jungle of Africa. It's deep in the heart of Africa. It is very dense. It has the most animals, and it has the most challenges because there's unreached people groups, which are tribes that have never heard about Jesus. And there's this one tribe that he always wanted to go to, but never made it to it. But before that, he was spreading the love of Jesus, and he met a police officer who was actually the chief of police in the town that they were staying in, and he led him to know the Lord. Well, in the 1960s, there was a rebellion that happened in the Republic of Congo. And J.W. Tucker got his family out, but the Holy Spirit told him, "I want you to go to this village. You need to go here." So he told his team, "Hey, I'm going into this jungle. I'm going into this remote village." And his team member says, "Hey, if you go in, you're not going to come out." And J.W. Tucker's last word was, "I was never told if I was going to go out. I was just told to go in." So J.W. Tucker went in. But when he went in, he got caught by the rebels, and they killed him. They threw his body in the river. And the thing that happened is, it's heartbreaking to hear the story, but it's amazing how God works. Because, see, the tribe would not listen to anybody whose blood did not run through the rivers. Which means this, if you're not African, they wouldn't listen to you. But because J.W. Tucker gave his heart and gave his life and laid it down, and his blood ran through the rivers. And because they ran through the rivers, the chief of police that was led to know about Jesus, he was from that tribe. He went back and said, "Hey, I need to tell you about this man who was trying to come in here but was stopped and killed." He goes, "This is what he talked about." They shared the gospel of Jesus. The whole tribe that day gave their heart to Christ. Instantly. The whole tribe. That's why in 1964, there was only 4,000. And in 2014, there's over 500,000 because of one man who was sent to go. So we're going to look at this and we're going to break down this scripture main word by main word. And we're going to see how it's so important that missionaries are going. And why missions is so important in the world. And let's be honest, if you watch the news, which I stop watching the news because it's so depressing. But Jesus is showing us that we need to go out into that world. There are so many things that are happening that we need to reach out to him. So we're going to look here. We're going to look in Romans chapter 10. The first word I want you to look at is sent. You know, I don't know about you, but when you hear the word sent, my kids right now are still in school. Most of your grandkids and kids are still in school. So growing up, when you were sent out of the classroom, what does that mean? Principal's office. That was not good. Being sent is not a good thing. But here, being sent is very important. Because being sent means there's someone behind you, backing you, to encourage you to go to where you've been sent to. It's like being here. I love this analogy, and I've used it many times, but Roger Staubach, who was a quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, I'm not a Dallas Cowboy fan at all. I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. I'm sorry if you're not, but it's okay. I'm a Steelers fan, but Roger Staubach was known to be an amazing man of God. He always said this. It goes, God, my wife, my children, ministry, then football. Now, Roger Staubach won Super Bowls. When he played on Sundays, he would go to church first before he would even go to the football field, because church was more important to him than the football game. But Roger Staubach said this. He goes, the church is like a huddle where we all come together. We hear the plan. We hear the play. And when we break the huddle, when we leave church, we know how to all execute the plan. He goes, that's why churches need to know what plan we're on. And what is our plan? Matthew 28:19. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go into all the world. One of my friends, I love it. When you leave his parking lot, he's a lead pastor at a church. When you leave, he goes, you are going into your mission field. Share Jesus. That's what he says. That's their sign when you leave the church. How great is that? Because that's our plan, right? We're supposed to share Jesus. And St. Francis of Assisi says this, share Jesus at all times, and if you have to, use words. Think about that for a second. Jesus even said it, that people will know that you're his disciples by what? The love that you have for one another. That's how they'll know if you're a follower of Jesus, because you have love for everyone around you. Now, let's be honest. I don't know about you, and I lived in North Carolina near the Outer Banks, which is crazy. This week, if you live in this area with all the motorcycles, how many of you all lost your patience? Come on. It's okay. We're in church. Don't lie. Let's be honest. How many of y'all got road rage this week? Anybody? Come on. It's okay. Because I do. That's my fault. I have road rage. But you look at it, and we got to show Jesus. One thing is my wife and I have learned to teach our kids, it's okay that things don't go our way. We went out to eat last night, and my son bit into a mozzarella stick. There was no mozzarella in it. It was just a shell. And he was upset. He was like, oh, man, I got gypped. I traded my brother my grapes for an empty mozzarella stick. And he went to complain. And I said, buddy, it's okay. You got enough food. Like, it's okay. And he was complaining about it. I said, no, it's okay. Don't worry about it. The lady's like, I'll get him new ones. I'm like, no, believe me, he doesn't need any more food. He's good. And the lady goes, well, what are you guys doing up here? I said, well, we're missionaries. She goes, you're missionaries? Where are you guys going? We're like, we're going to Colombia. She goes, oh, wow, that is so great. She goes, you know, I really like this table. I just felt different here. Why? Because everyone else was like, I want my food now. I need this. I need a refill. We're just chilling, having fun, looking at all the different animals. But why we're there is we're sharing Jesus. No matter where you're at, you're sent from the church to go share. And because we're sent, we're supposed to tell. It's not just supposed to come to church, sit, and just hear a message. It's about us taking it and going out and changing people. How many of you have had a changed life because of Jesus? You got to tell people what Jesus did. You got to tell people why, because there's people around you that don't know that they can have a changed life. Right now in our home church, we have Teen Challenge, which is right down the street now. The Brooklyn Teen Challenge, they're redoing their facility in Brooklyn. And so they moved out to the country, which some of those guys, again, like what I said about teenagers moving from Brooklyn, these guys were the same way. They're like, I heard noises that I've never heard before. I'm like, oh, yeah, man. He goes, no, it was screeching. I was like, oh, something died. And he's like, what do you mean? I said, a predator got something. The one guy, I heard him talking. He goes, man, I got up this morning, and there was feathers everywhere. I was like, did you have chickens? He's like, we did. And I was like, yeah, you did have chickens. They're gone. But just having them come up, and I love Teen Challenge because of where they used to be and what God did and now where they're at. And they can share that. We all have a testimony that we're supposed to share. Some of you are like, well, I don't know a testimony. One of my favorite professors in college said this. He goes, at the age of 8, I was saved from a life of drugs and alcohol. I'm sitting there, I'm like, you were 8 years old using drugs and alcohol? He goes, no, I gave my heart at 8 years old, but God saved me from drugs and alcohol because where I lived, that was the biggest thing, and that's all you did. But see how he can use his testimony to reach people by saying about what God did for him. And so we're supposed to tell about it. I don't know about you, but my kids love to talk. So if you give them a chance to talk, I'm sorry. Especially Tara Beth. You better have your ear ready. She will talk it off. But we're supposed to tell. We're supposed to go and tell. Now in the day and age, it was funny sitting at the restaurant yesterday and everyone's like this. There's no conversation. It's quiet. We have a great opportunity to tell people about a story in the Bible. And you can use it in a way, hey, man, have you ever heard the story of this, of the man who just died and gave his life to save millions of people? You can use it to tell people about Jesus. And there are people in this world that need to know about Jesus. Right now, overseas, I love missions. I have friends all over the world, and I love them. One of my friends is over in Thailand right now. And he's like, Isaiah, my house is flooded. I'm like, why? He goes, it's rainy season. I'm like, dude, I'm so sorry. He goes, no, this is what my life is going to be like. He goes, but you know what was great? Because we got all our stuff taken care of, we got to go reach the little old lady next door who we lived next to for 5 years that doesn't know Jesus. She's a Buddhist. But because we went over, we got to pray with her. We gave her food. And he goes, while my wife was taking care of her, I was shoveling all the water out of her basement. Sometimes telling is doing by action. You going there. My wife and I have an amazing testimony is when we moved into Port Jervis, we lived in two different houses. We're in our third house now. But the third house we were moving to, we did not want this house, this staff house. We're like, no, this is a small house. It needs a lot of work. We're sitting there. We're like, oh, why? Why do we need to do this? But come to find out, God had a reason why. Because right across the street, our neighbors who are now our best friends, not even best friends, their family, their little girl, when we moved in, was just getting off of chemo and was in remission of cancer. She was 4 years old. We come to find out, and my wife and I took it to prayer and fasting, every day to pray and fast. We would go over, the mom had another child, had two childs, right? No, Lennon was just born, and then Sawyer was born. We brought over food. And she goes, why'd you bring me food? She goes, well, this is what we do as a church. You know, let's be honest, how many of we know that? If you're sick, you bring food to people, or if they had a baby. We brought food, and that opened the door for us to go in and start talking about what we're doing. We told them that we're going to be missionaries. We're here until it's time to go. And they're like, what? And our time's getting short. We leave June 30th to move down with Heather's parents. Our neighbors don't want to talk about that because they both don't have family. We became their family. We were there to talk with them. The day that the little girl Veda got to go take her port, her cancer port out. She asked me, she goes, Isaiah, will you come and be there and pray over me? Said, yeah. She goes, well, it's going to be really early in the morning. No matter what time, I'll come. I was there when she went in. When she came out, I was there. Got to pray with her. She's Catholic. They're raised Catholic. But you know what? We got to tell them about Jesus. And you know what's even better is she went through religion. She comes back, I heard this great song, Jesus Loves Me. I'm like, oh, he loves you. You have no idea, Veda. You don't know the plan that he has for you, what he is doing. She went to the state competition for gymnastics. She's in third grade. She took first in one of the procedures. 5 years ago, the doctors never thought that she'd be able to do anything. But because of prayer and what Jesus can do, he changes. But see, we're sent to go tell. And we're supposed to tell because people will hear. How many of you right here gave your heart to Christ because you heard someone tell you about Jesus? Right? Think about that. What happens if they weren't sent? None of us would be here right now. None of us. Why? Because when we're sent, we're supposed to tell. And when we tell, there are people there to hear. It doesn't mean it's going to take, right? Paul talks about it. Paul talks about when people were choosing between Paul or Apollos. He says it doesn't matter if it's Paul or Apollos. It's Jesus Christ that is planted and the Holy Spirit waters it. You know, we have friends overseas that are going to Muslim countries. And did you know what's happening in Muslim countries? It's called the white man dream. Do you know what it is? There are Muslims who are radical Muslims, have a dream, and they wake up and they give their hearts to Christ. Why? Because Jesus shows up in a dream. They're doing that. Why? It's because they heard about Jesus, because someone told them, because they were sent. But the thing of it is, we're going to break this down, is it's not just about hearing it, it's about believing. Right? How many of you have kids that know about Jesus until they give their heart to Christ, right? When they finally believe. I grew up in church. Guess what? I gave my heart to Christ every weekend. Every Sunday, I think I gave my heart to Christ in children's church. Because I didn't know better. Until the one day that God literally shook me to the core. And I felt something that was so deep. That I felt that I had a missing piece in my life. See, there are people walking around not knowing that they have a life in Jesus. Have you ever seen the movie The Sixth Sense? There's a part of it. It's a little boy that he says this. He goes, I can see dead people. No offense, people, but if you look outside, you see a lot of dead people because they don't have Jesus in their heart because they're dead. And see, we're sent to go tell so that people can hear, but it's more than hearing, it's about believing. Believing is something that changes from the inside. It has faith. How many of you have faith in your car, right? That some of us might have faith in our car that it might start. Or you have faith that you're going to have gas. Or you're going to have faith that you have food on the table, right? But see, it all comes back to having faith in Jesus, because Jesus provides everything that we need. And there are people in this world that are going around life and they're working for emptiness when they could have joy and be filled. But see, no one has gone there yet. See, we're going to Colombia and we're going to the northern part of Colombia to work with children and youth. Because, see, here in America, this is the statistic, is if you have the husband, get saved, 95% of the time the whole family will get saved. And it goes down from there. See, in Latin America, it's the opposite. If the child gets saved, there's an 85% chance the whole family will get saved. So if you get the child, why? Because how many of you know children can be persistent? Putting it lightly. My child, all day. We told him yesterday, oh, maybe we'll go kayaking on the lake. Bad idea. Why? Every 5 feet. So are we going to go on the kayaks? Are we going to go on the kayaks? Are we going to go on the kayaks? I'm like, dude, we don't know. It's packed here. There's motorcycles everywhere. I don't even know what we're going to do. We get back to the hotel. They're like, oh, I'm so tired. I'm like, all right, good. Let's head back. We get to the hotel. So we're going to go kayaking now? I'm like, you just said you couldn't walk. And now you're complaining. But see, they have faith and they call on it. So they're sent to tell, to hear, but to believe. But the biggest thing is the only way they can believe is if they call on the name of the Lord. See, the reason why I went backwards in this is to see how it's so progressive, that why missions is so important. And missions is very important. As Pastor Bill said, missions is important locally and globally. Because your mission field is wherever God has placed you. My wife and I, we've told every church that we've been a part of, every church that we've worked in, is we're like, hey, listen, we're here until God opens the door for us to go on the mission field. We've been open and honest about it. This wasn't a surprise to anybody. We had the heart and the calling on Jesus and to go on the mission field since she was 13. I was 15. I ran from the calling. God had to take me out at the knees. I've had 8 knee surgeries because I ran from it. You know how God used Jonah to get eaten by a whale? God said, hey, stop running. Drop me off at the knees. I had a 4-year-old little girl walk up to me, and I knew it was the Holy Spirit, walk up to me and said, if you would have just trusted in Jesus, this never would have happened to you. Because I was running. I was running from what God has asked me to do. 8 years old, I was healed. I was sick, and I said, God, if you're real, heal me. Instantly healed. And I gave my heart to Christ at 8 years old. But when you go through the teenage years, you know, things change. And you lose focus. And then when you have coaches and even pastors saying, Isaiah, you're going to be the next Reggie White. You're going to be amazing. I went from following God's dream to what man told me I wanted to do. And God said, no. I gave you gifting. It wasn't for that. This is for it. And see, God gives us giftings. It's what we do with our giftings and how he uses us. I'm a big guy. I don't know Spanish. I can't even speak English correctly. But God called me to go and love the unloved. That's our tag that God gave us. Because why? There are people that are in the world that don't know they're loved by Jesus. And our goal is to go so that they can call on the name of the Lord. So that they can believe, to have faith, and change their hearts. So believe and call. So I want to break this down again, this scripture down for you. I want to reread the scripture. It says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell without being sent? That is why the scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of the messenger who brings good news. I want to challenge you today, and it's nothing against this church. I use this at every church, but look at the empty pews. How many people are waiting for you to tell them about Jesus? Pastor Bill is giving you words. He's showing you in the Bible what to do to tell people. He can't go to everyone in this area and tell them about Jesus. That's why you're here. Because where you're located, Pastor Bill could never go to. We had a biker ministry in our church called Honor Bound who used to leave Port Jervis and come up for the whole week of Americade. and not just come and participate, but go pray for people, pass out water. I could never do that. Why? I can't ride a motorcycle. I'm afraid of them. I'll be honest. I'm afraid of them. I said I wanted a Spider, a Can-Am. Someone said, that's not a motorcycle. I don't care. That's what I want. But I can't go and do that. Why? Because God didn't place me in that mission field. I'm great with students, teenagers, and little kids. I'm great with them. I love doing that. I love working with teenagers. I love talking to them. I love encouraging them. When I was in North Carolina, I was a substitute teacher. In that school, it's a massive school. Each grade had 600 kids per grade. So 9th through 12, 600 kids. They had 4 guidance counselors per age group. So per grade was 4 guidance counselors. But when I came in as a substitute teacher, you weren't allowed to share your faith, because even though we're down south, can't do that. But if they asked you, you're allowed to answer it. They said, so Mr. Maddox, what do you do other than substitute teach? I said, oh, I'm a youth pastor. What's a youth pastor? I'm a pastor to youth, which means I'm a pastor to you. They're like, they have those? They're like, I've been going to a church that the pastor screams at me all the time. I'm like, no, that's the lead pastor. I said, I'm the youth pastor, so I hang out with you. But let me tell you, 2 years being there, instead of going to the guidance counselor, they would find out where I was substitute teaching and come talk to me. Finally, to the point that the principal called me in his office, and I was like, oh, great. I got sent to the principal's office, and I'm 23 years old. I walk in, and the principal goes, hey, I know you're a pastor, and I love it. I'm so thankful that you're here. I'm like, awesome. He goes, but we need to do something different. I'm like, what's that? He goes, anytime you substitute, I'm like, yeah. I'm like, oh, man, I'm going to get fired. I know this. He goes, I want you to take one period, whatever period they tell you is your free period. I want you to come to the office. We have an open office for you to use that students can sign up and come talk to you. But I was sent there to the point that I had kids coming to find me. I'm like, hey, listen, my free period is at this time. So get a pass from the office that you can leave whatever class you're in to come talk to me. You know, you can't really invite them to come to your church. That's not allowed. And I looked at them and said, listen, talk to this student. They're like, why? I'm like, because they're my students from my church. Talk to them and they'll tell you what to do. So they would come to our youth group on Thursday nights because of that. But see, God sent me to go to North Carolina to be there for a season. And then God sent me from North Carolina to Pennsylvania, from Pennsylvania to New York. And now from New York, he's calling me to go to Columbia. Everyone says, well, how long are you going to be there? I said, until God moves me to another place. Do you know that there's so many places that don't have missionaries? My wife showed that picture. If you can show that picture of the map, Pastor Bill, real quick. I want to encourage you. And this is why God has sent us here. Right here. See this lost city? There's actually a tribe there that is guarded by the national police that you are not allowed to go to unless you're invited by the chief. Guess what we're doing? Kids ministry. Guess what? The chief has a lot of kids, a lot of grandkids. Because of the ministry that we're going to be doing going into these far cities, we're praying one day to be able to go here. Why? That lost city has never heard about Jesus. On the backside over here, there's a tribe that knows about Jesus. But this city right here, the tribe there doesn't know about Jesus. So he has sent us to go tell that they are loved because they feel unloved. God is calling you to go outside of here because see these empty pews? There are people that don't know that they are loved by Jesus. But you are the ones who are supposed to tell them. You have grandkids, you have friends, you have family, you have people that you know that don't know Jesus. All you have to do is tell them that you love them, that Jesus loves them. One of our friends, she's a missionary to Ecuador. Her name's Leah. Leah has a mom who, they lived in Las Vegas, Nevada. Mom doesn't know who the dad is. Leah's never known who her dad is. But the amazing thing is this, is Leah at the age of 7 was saved because someone came to her door, knocked on and said, hey, we're starting a kids ministry down the street. Would you want to come to church? And she went to church, got saved. Her mom wanted nothing to do with it, but let Leah go. But Leah, at 7 years old, who is now 35 years old, just like us, has lived for Jesus her whole life. She's been telling her mom about Jesus every time. Her mom got cancer the month that Leah left to go to language school. So Leah's been praying, telling her mom, just Jesus. Her mom's like, I don't want nothing to do with this. And she goes, okay, mom. So Leah was in the middle of her language session learning Spanish. She got a phone call from mom. Her mom was supposed to go to the doctor that day to see how bad the cancer was, what was going on. Leah left the class, answered the phone because this was weird. Mom wasn't supposed to call at that time. Mom knew not to call at that time. So Leah answers the phone, says, yeah, mom, what's going on? She goes, Leah, she goes, I want to tell you something. And Leah goes, oh, no, she's bracing for impact. The worst. She goes, I just gave my heart to Christ. And Leah goes, what? How? What? When? She goes, well, I was at the gas station getting gas, and I went to go pay for it, and someone, the attendant said, oh, your gas is paid for. She turned around and said, why did you pay for my gas? And the guy goes, because Jesus loves you. And that's all it took for her mom to turn around and give her heart to Christ. It's so simple to lead people to Jesus. It's just to tell them that Jesus loves you. Do you know that Jesus loves you? There's someone in this world that loves you unconditionally. No matter what you've done your whole life, Jesus loves you. Her mom died 3 weeks later because of the cancer, but she's in heaven rejoicing because one person took the time to say that Jesus loves you. Look at all the empty places. Who could be here right now? Because all you have to do is say, Jesus loves you. That's why that scripture is so important, because we need to send people. And Pastor Bill sends you every Sunday from here to go out into your mission field, which is all around. Some of you, God has been calling on you to do something amazing and you don't know what it is. See the wall back there? There's 5 missionaries up there. I want to challenge you to take one missionary, all of them if you want to, but take one and just start praying for them. Praying for them, praying for that God would do amazing things. One thing that Pastor Bill doesn't know this, but I'm saying it now, my wife and I love teams. We want you to come visit us in Colombia. And you're like, well, I don't know. Your wife said it's 101 degrees. Yeah, it's 101 degrees, but because you come down, your life's going to be changed. My first missions trip, when I was called to be a missionary, I was 20 years old and did my internship in Haiti for 6 weeks. That's my first mission trip. That's the first time I ever flew. My wife had a good time with that. She made fun of me because she'd go, oh, no, that's not supposed to happen. I'm like, well, we're going to die. I went down to Haiti, and I was there for 6 weeks in a boy's orphanage that their parents gave them up because they couldn't take care of them. My parents adopted 4 boys from Haiti. The youngest one just graduated. Why? Because my parents loved them so much, because God said, love them. God told us in 2012 when we were in Colombia, I said, God, break my heart for what breaks yours. We were praying, God, where do you want us to go? Where are you calling us to be missionaries at? And God said, you're not ready. At that time, I've been a pastor for 8 years. I said, God, what do you mean I'm not ready? He goes, I got to rearrange your mind. I got to change your heart for what missions really is, because it's not what you think it is, Isaiah. I said, okay, God, whatever you got to do, do it. God broke my heart. And he goes, do you really want to hear my heart? I said, yes. He broke my heart. And then he goes, these are your people. Love them. Love them as I loved you. And that's why God has placed on our heart to go to Colombia to work with children and youth, because there are kids there that their parents work very hard to provide for them, but they don't know that they're loved by Jesus. So God has called us to go to Colombia, just as God has called you, not just to sit in the pews and keep this to yourself. It's for you to go and share the love of Jesus. That's why that scripture is so important. You know why? Because there are people that are waiting to hear the good news. They're waiting to hear what God is going to do in their life and use them. Think about it. I asked that question before. What would happen if you never heard about Jesus? What if someone never came and told you? We wouldn't be here. Billy Graham would have never came around. That's why Jesus told them to go into all the world and preach the gospel, which is just telling about Jesus. I want to encourage you today to take that to heart. It's time to go from these 4 walls and go out into the community. Go to your family. Go to your friends. Go to a complete stranger like Leah's mom who got saved, and all they had to do is say, Jesus loves you. It's that simple. Everyone thinks you have to have a testimony or something amazing. No, just tell them that Jesus loves you. And God the Father will send his Holy Spirit to tell you exactly what to say when the time arises. So I want to encourage you today that missions is important, not just globally, but locally also. I'm going to end on this right here. We heard this at youth convention 2 years ago. It's called, not called, did you say? It's written by it's written by William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army. He wrote this. He goes, not heard, did you say, not heard the call, I think you should say. Put your ear down to the Bible and hear him bid you go and pull sinners out of the fire. Put your ear down to the burning, agonizing heart of humanity and listen to its pitiful wail for help. Go stand by the gates of hell and hear the damned entreat you to go to their fathers, to their brothers, to their sisters and their servants and their masters to not come here. Then look Christ in the face, whose mercies you have professed to obey, and tell him whether or not you will join heart and soul and body and circumstance into the march to publish his mercy to the world. What William Booth was saying is this: if you have Christ in your heart, it's not for you just to sit there and soak it in. It's about you to pour it back out. And see, so many churches today are keeping quiet when they need to be going out and just showing love. That's all Christ did, right? He showed love by hanging on the cross. We could never pay that debt. But God says, I'm going to send my son. All I'm asking you to do is you to go tell everyone about my son. It's very simple. And some of you are thinking, no, don't overthink it. It's simple as Jesus loves you. Three simple words to tell people about Jesus. So I want to encourage you today that God has placed on your heart one person or a face or maybe a complete stranger to share the love of Jesus. So today, if you don't know that Jesus loves you, let me tell you, Jesus loves you. And I want to encourage you to go out and tell people about Jesus, because God has called us to go to Colombia to tell them about Jesus. Right now in Colombia, you know, Latin America is mostly known for a Catholicism, Catholic place. Catholic origin is number one. In the last 4 years, it went from 86% down to 68%, because they want to leave a religion and have a relationship with Jesus. So God is doing great things. So let me pray over you real quick. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you that your scripture is alive, Lord, that Romans chapter 10 is speaking to us today, Lord, that we need to be sent to go, Father. So, Lord, I pray right now, Lord, that you would just move in Solid Rock Assembly of God, Lord, right now in Bolton Landing, Lord, in Lake George, Lord, that you would move mightily. But, Father, I pray right now, Lord, for each person that is here, that you would give them a name and a face of a person that all they have to say is, Jesus loves you. Father, I pray that you'd give them the boldness to say it, because your son had the boldness to go die on the cross for us. So, Father, I pray that we can have courage and know of what your son did for us to come closer to you. Lord, I pray that you would let us share the good news, that someone might be able to hear and that they might believe and they'll call on your name, Lord, when they need you the most. Father, there are people that are dying and don't know about you. Father, open up our hearts to be servants every day to share your love. So, Father, I thank you for this amazing church. Lord, I know you're going to do great things in this church. Father, Lord, I have already felt your Holy Spirit starting to move and awaken people, Father, in this local area. Father, I pray that you would have a light that is on top of a hill right now, Father God, Lord, that people would be drawn here. But, Lord, I pray for the individuals to go out and share about your son. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to be here and just encourage them. And Father, I thank you that we are going out from Solid Rock Assembly of God to go to Colombia and have a church planted there, Father, that is from here. And Lord, I thank you for what you're about to do today. So in the name we pray, amen.